Feels good in this place. Doesn't matter where you are, what time of the day it is, what time of the night it is, something about when you start to praise and worship God, His presence just comes in. Amen. I know times in my life where I come in having a bad day, just things weren't going right. If I could just get a few minutes of worship in, just seems to smooth over a little bit. Amen. This morning I'm going to be going to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Going to be reading a parable here that we've all pretty much heard a lot, probably. I'm in Matthew chapter 13, going to be starting at verse 24. If you have it, say amen. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants then said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them, which is the good seed. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. This morning, just want to talk a little about the war within the field. The war within the field. I'm going to try not to really preach. I'm going to try to teach. I might do a little preach a little bit. Amen. Just bear with me. I'm going to try to give this to you like God gave it to me this last Monday. Just sitting there in a chair thinking about stuff and listening to things just sort of just hit me in the back of the head like a hammer. Like, yep, know what I'm doing. You ever get like that? Amen. So in this parable here, we see Jesus is talking about planting and harvesting. We've all heard a lot about planting and harvesting, and in fact, some of us in our lives growing up, we've probably done planting and harvesting in our lives, some of us. He's using this earthly concept that they could understand to explain a heavenly concept that they really could not understand. He wanted to make sure they got the point of what he was trying to say. In those days, planting and harvesting, sowing and reaping, it was how they got by. It was not something they did for just fun and for leisure activity, but it was something they had to do in order to survive. If they wanted to make it, they had to eat. Well, if they had to eat, they had to plant food. And the process of planting and harvesting had to take place. But this parable, Jesus, his purpose was not to tell them how to be better farmers. His purpose in this was to make them understand first who they were, and then secondly, whose they were. Amen? He told them the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. So first we have heaven here who is likened unto the man. We know this man as God being this man. Then we have the man sowing good seed in the field. That seed is me and you. Say, I'm a seed. Say, I'm a good seed. Amen. Get that in your mind. You're a good seed, not a bad seed. God, the creator of earth, knowing all things and the plans that he has for your life, the Bible says, he planted you on this earth at this time. It was no accident or mistake for you to be planted in this field right now. You were not accidentally given life and placed in this field this morning, but you were created for a purpose and with a purpose in your life. How many of you can lift your hands and say, I know what my purpose is today. I know clearly what God has given me as a purpose and what my purpose is for the kingdom of God. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. See, just that scripture right there, if you're ever having a bad day, you just need to think about it and realize, hey, I know who I am right there. God has a plan for me. Because before I was even born, he had my life laid laid out, and he had my journey laid out ahead of me. We can get our own ideas, and we can make our own paths, and we can be rebellious sometimes, and we can mess the path up, but God has a purpose for us. And regardless of how far we go, we can always get back on that purpose and that path if we trust in God. So the purpose of planting a seed is that you want it to grow, correct? You just don't throw it out there and say, oh, well, it's out there. No, you want it to grow. You want it to prosper and bloom. You just don't throw it out there and forget about it like it's never there. You tend to it. You water it. You go and you move it to make sure there's no bugs and insects on it. You want to make sure it's where it's supposed to be and it's doing what it's supposed to do. You give it the nutrients that it's supposed to have, and you have patience with it. That's the one we have trouble with a lot in our life. Amen? It's the patience. I know I do. I hate waiting on stuff. I like it. I'm a technology person. I like pushing a button and it's there. Amen? I get frustrated. We have a microwave at home and it's broke. It doesn't work right. And the problem is, it's been broken, hasn't worked right for probably about almost a year now. It's been sitting there, just slowly getting worse and worse. And you turn it to however you want to do, and it takes a long time for it to heat up. It just doesn't heat up right. And so instead of where something would cook for 2 minutes, you got to put it for like 10 minutes. And just impatient, you have to wait, and just bothers me. Eventually, I will buy a new microwave. We probably should just take it out. That way we realize, hey, we really do need to go get one. But hey, you can judge me later. But we don't like to wait. We don't like the patience. And when you're planting and when you're sowing and you get these seeds, you got to be patient. You just don't throw it out there, bury it in the ground, and all of a sudden tomorrow, oop, there it is. It's ready to harvest. You got to tend to it. You got to be patient with it, and you got to do what you have to do to make sure it grows. So here today, you may feel like God made a mistake in where he planted you. You ever felt that way? Don't raise your hand, but you might feel that way now. Just you're asking God, what am I doing here? What's your purpose for me? What's your plan? I really don't understand what you're doing right now in my life. But let me clear up the confusion for you. You were planted here at this time for a purpose. You are here today where you're supposed to be by design of God. Amen? No confusion in that. Get it in your mind. You are here because this is where God wants you to be. You are unique in your design, and there is no other made like you. You are special. There is a process when you have to grow, and God wants to put you through that process of growing to make you what you need to be. You will be able to fully complete the purpose God has designed and created you for if you allow yourself to go through that process. So let's get back to the parable here. Jesus said the enemy here, he does not want you to fulfill your purpose, is basically what's going on here. In fact, the enemy is terrified that you will achieve your purpose. That's his fear, because you will become what you are supposed to be. And he is going to try to stop you from reaching that purpose whichever way he can. So Matthew 13, verse 25 in this says, But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So let me first say again, you were planted by God. There's no doubt about that. We're good on that this morning?
Yeah.
You were planted by God. You are here by design and by purpose. And the devil, he's going to do everything he can to stop this purpose, and he wants to unplant you. That's his purpose. He wants to get you unplanted where you're not supposed to be. The enemy knows that he can't destroy you, though. The enemy knows that he can't touch you. So instead of coming right at you, the scripture says he came in during the night. While he slept, while you're not paying attention, while you're distracted a little bit and you're not really there to watch over it, you're not there to watch the process, and while you're maybe a little weak this week because you've had a bad week and ain't prayed like you should, ain't read like you should, and you're just a little bit weak, that enemy saw that weakness and saw you sleeping, and he comes in during the night, amen, and he plants things around you that shouldn't be, get that, around you that shouldn't be. So we know from the life of Job that the enemy can't touch you unless God gives him permission, correct? He had to ask God to touch Job. He couldn't just go and touch him directly. So I imagine this process here of the devil when he's walking around and the enemy when they're walking around wanting to touch a child of God. And because they try. They're going to try. They're just like that. It's the enemy. They're stupid. We can talk about the devil like that. Amen. And I just imagine him walking around to a child of God that's filled with the Holy Ghost, just coming to him. Yeah, I'm going to try to touch him. He goes and he reaches out, touches him, just gets zapped. Like he just got electrocuted to touch a live wire. Like, oh, nope, can't touch him still. Can't do it. That's my imagination. It's not biblical, but hey, it looks good in my mind when I think about it, because the devil, when he comes to touch me, I know the power of God just resisted. Amen? So instead of touching you directly, he places things around you because he can't touch you. He places these things around you to try to destroy you. So think about Job. He couldn't touch Job directly, but he went after the things around him. He went after his home, went after his family, went after his crops, went after his cattle. All the things that were around him that he could touch, that's what he went after. That's the way our lives are. The devil, he likes to go after the things around us because he can't touch us directly. So in times of war, when you're looking at this parable, the wars could go on for months and years at a time, but if you could somehow cut off the food and water supply to the other side, you could win that war. It wasn't a day process, it wasn't a week process, but little by little, if they could cut off the supply of nutrients to a city or to a battle and starve them to a point where they have no food, they have no water, and at that point, the strong army can become a weak army. And when they become that weak army, then the other side can invade and take them over, because the damage has been done by not what has done directly to them, but what has been done around them, their surroundings. Remember 2 Kings chapter 7. There were four lepers sitting at the gate of the city. They were sitting there starving, and they didn't know what to do. This whole city was cut off by the Syrian army, and they were starving. History records that the city was so desperate for food and starvation that they were selling and eating their own children. That's some desperation right there, folks. They were the definition of starving. They were dying for lack of food and water. And the whole city was going to die if they did not get nutrients here. And the story goes on to the four lepers that they've said, well, we're going to die if we go into the city, or we're going to die if we go to the Syrian army. Well, we know there's no food in the city, so let's take our chances with the army, and maybe they'll have mercy on us and give us food. And we know the story goes, they went, and while they walked, the God amplified their feet and made it sound like an army was coming, and the Syrians, they fled and left everything, food, gold, silver, everything they had, they just left it there. Man, the power of God is amazing. But it was a good example of war in times about how you can be starved of your nutrients by the things around you. The devil will mess with you indirectly. He will mess with your life through your coworkers. He will mess with your life through friends, and then maybe even through family that has been planted around you to be a distraction. Amen. How many of you know people in your life, you say, yeah, I know they're a distraction. I know that we call them grace builders. That's what they are. My wife calls me her grace builder sometimes. So, but we have those in our lives. So in our parable, the enemy knows that he cannot touch them directly. They were too powerful to fight directly. So the enemy sneaks in and plants these tares in and around them and around the good seeds. And if all goes well, the tares will grow up and it will corrupt the good seed. It will starve that good seed, and all will be lost, or at least reduced to the point where they will not have what they should have. With less food, they will become weak. With maybe the enemy could then attack them and go after them. So the enemy surrounds you with the tares that should not be there, hoping they will destroy you or weaken you, and the things that are planted around your life will grow into soil that is meant to nutrate you.
That's right.
See, a lot of times we look at our life like a question I asked earlier, you wonder, why am I planted here?
Yeah.
You're planted where you're supposed to be, but there's turmoil going on around you to the point where you're confused. You feel like you're starving a little bit. Well, it's because you're allowing your surroundings to take your nutrients. You're allowing your surroundings to take things from you that should belong to you. We can't allow the enemy to do that. It will try to take the nutrients that are in the ground that are meant for you. It will try to block the sun from getting to you. It will try to block the rain from watering you. All along, growing side by side with you like it belongs there. It will look like it belongs. This is why some of you are going through things that are out of your control. You don't understand why it's happening, why you can't get away from it, and why it's following you everywhere you go. You're just walking around like, man, I got this stuff just driving me crazy. And you're walking over here, you're looking over your shoulder like, man, it's still there. What are you doing following me? Maybe it's a person. They're following you. It's stalking you maybe a little bit. And they just get away from me. You know, just whatever situation is. And you ever feel like that? You just can't get away from it? Everywhere you turn, it's there. You go to sleep at night thinking about it. You wake up in the morning, it's the first thought on your head when you open your eyes. You just can't get away from it. The things, they bother you. They want to destroy you and take you out.
Jesus.
The reason it's happening is because you're in that process.
Yes.
You're going through that process. So why is this happening? What is your purpose? Is there any reasoning to what is going on? Hear me today. It's just the tares of the enemy growing around you. That's all it is. As worse as it can get, as bad as it may look in your life when you look around and see that it's just the tares growing. It's just the tares growing. That's all it is. He's trying to weaken you. The enemy's trying to confuse you. He's trying to steal whatever joy you have left. I know what that's like. Come to church, you just ain't got no joy. You go to altar, just pray, God, just help me find a little bit of joy. I just want to smile again. I just want to feel that happiness again, feel that joy in the Holy Ghost. And if that's not bad enough, watch what happens in verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? Now people are coming and asking him, what's going on? Why are there tares in your field? What did you do? You know, did you not sow good seed in the ground? Did you not plant good seed in the ground? Now you got people talking about you. First, they're questioning God. God, did you make a mistake? Well, now they're coming and they're talking about you. Is that not a good seed anymore? Their seed must be bad. That person must not be a really good seed. I mean, look at all them tares around him. Look at all the stuff going on around their life, all the problems that they got. They must not be a very good seed. Look at all them tares. Surely they're not going to make it. I mean, people in the church, they say that. They look over their shoulder, whisper and say, yeah, they ain't going to make it through the week, man. Yeah, do you see what they were doing? You see what they're going through? They ain't got a chance. And maybe we should go over and pray for them a little bit instead of talking about them. Amen? That's a whole nother sermon. So God, just let us go. And he said unto them in verse 20, and the enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? We see all the stuff that's there that shouldn't be there. Let us go and rip it out. That's the way our life. We like to correct stuff ourselves sometimes, right? We don't want God to be patient and let it. We just like to go up there and say, hey, they got a problem. Let me go help you with your problem. You know? Can't do that. God, just let us go and pull them up. They're damaged. They're broken. They're not going to make it anyways. It's the way it is. You look at pastors sometimes and say, Pastor, did you hear about them? Did you hear what they said? Pastor, did you see what they did this weekend? It was all over Facebook. I mean, really. I mean, people are talking about what they're doing. It's going to get around, you know, that you're their pastor. People are looking at them. They don't look like they should be. Yeah, I know they've only had the Holy Ghost for a week. They've only been coming to church for a month. And yeah, they don't look like they should. Amen? Got any witnesses here? Their seed must be corrupted. Because look at them. Look at what they're going through. Pastor, you should just let us cut them out. You don't have to do it. You can just keep doing your thing. We'll handle it. God, you know, just let us go and rip those tares out and everything. But watch what happens. Verse 29 says, but nay. Everybody say no.
No.
Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat in them. See, that's the problem. A lot of times we want to correct things ourselves in the church. We don't want to have patience and let the seed grow that just came in here. And we get impatient and we want to take things into our own hands and go up there and try to fix their problems. But in the midst of fixing their problems and trying to correct their mistakes, we end up pulling them out and throwing them out of the church too. Don't even give them a chance to grow into the house of God. Don't even give them a chance to grow into true holiness and to see God work and bloom in their life. Because we just wanted, hey, we're going to help correct the issue, man, because we really love you. Right? So know, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat within them. How many of you are thankful that at some point in your life, God said no? Because we haven't all been correct all the time, but at some point in our life, we needed help. At some point in our life, we ain't all been perfect. And when other people wanted to come and condemn us and throw us out and correct us according to their way, God said, no, wait a minute. You're not going to do that. You're going to be patient with them. The enemy wanted to cut you down and throw you out, but God said no. The enemy wanted to destroy you, but God said no in your life. See, God's not going to give up, and he's not going to quit trying on you regardless of where you're at. He's not going to throw you out every time you mess up and every time you trip up. Verse 30 says, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. That's the shouting right there. See, because when it all said and done, when it comes to the point and then we get to the end, what's going to happen? All those things that are planted around us that shouldn't be, God's going to come down. He's going to gather all those things out and he's just going to throw them out. The process. We have to let ourselves and we have to let others grow until we reach our purpose and our destiny. Because when we get to the point where we reach our destiny and we reach our purpose, all the other stuff is going to fade away and it ain't going to matter. We're going to forget about it. God's going to forget about it as far as it is to the east or the west. And we're going to do what God has for us to do. Amen. But we have to reach that purpose. So regardless of your situation, regardless of the storms around you, God is not going to give up on us. He is not going to throw us out. He's going to keep working on us until we reach our purpose and destiny. When everyone else wanted to take you out and take you down, no one else will give you a chance like God will. God will give you chance after chance if you come to him in repentance. You're just in the way. You're just a mess up. That's what they say. Just pull them out and throw them out of church. That's what they want to do. But God said, no, let them grow. Let them grow. God told the devil, he can't touch you. They're mine. You cannot touch them. You are one of his. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Yes. Romans 14 and 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. That's scripture right there. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. That means there's no doubt in your mind. There's no doubt in the Word of God. There's no doubt in the Scripture. We are the Lord's. We believe it this morning. So I think the root to a lot of problems people face in the church is simply self-worth. Self-worth. I remember in the past when we pastored a little bit, we had a booklet that my wife made. She wrote and made this booklet for young ladies, teaching them self-worth, to help them understand who they were in God and that they were worth something. Because one of the biggest things plaguing teenage women and young women is the fact that the world makes them feel like they're not good enough. More than boys. Because boys, I mean, we don't really care what we look like most times. But girls, they care what they look like. They want their hair to be right. They want to be pretty. They want to wear what's good in fashion. Nothing wrong with that. You should want to look good. Even boys, we should try to take care of ourselves a little bit. But they struggle with self-worth. We get the mindset that we are not worth anything. Many times, and this is not just something as kids. As adults, no matter your age, you can get to a point in your life and your relationship with God that you're just not where you're supposed to be. And you're just like, man, am I really worth anything? Does God really care about me? All the stuff I've done, I've messed up my life so bad. Does God really still care about me? Am I worth anything? I'm just a nobody. Maybe your father told you you're stupid as you were growing up. Your mother may have said you were a mistake. The world says you're ugly because you don't look like the magazine. Amen?
Right.
Your so-called friends pretend like you're not even there most of the time. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never be what God wants me to be. I'm worthless. Am I speaking to anybody this morning?
All right.
You ever been there? So let's talk about worth for a moment. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus calls the devil here a thief. So what does a thief do? He steals things. In my 8 years of law enforcement, I've never seen a thief break into a house and steal anything from an abandoned, worn down, run down, worthless house. It just doesn't happen. I've never seen a thief staking out a homeless man on the street wanting to rob him. Just walking by him saying, "Uh-huh. And man, I got your number tonight. Tonight I'm coming after you. Those old dirty rotten shoes and that cardboard box you're living in, it's going to be mine tonight."
Right.
No. You don't see thieves doing that. They're looking for something with value. They want something that has value to it. He's only going after something that has worth to it. And sometimes when they want this stuff bad enough, there's violence and death involved. Because he goes after it hard if it's really valuable. So you have to understand how valuable you are this morning. Do you understand your worth? Do you understand the value of your life today? You are precious in God's eyes. 1 Corinthians 6:20. "For you are bought with a price." Amen. Your price was not a dollar. Your price was not $100 or $1,000. Your life demanded more than just gold and silver. Your life demanded more than diamonds and pearls. Your worth, it took God Almighty wrapping himself in flesh, coming to this earth and putting himself on a cross, dying for you. That is your worth. You are a priceless item, and God gave his life for you. Amen. If you're under attack today and you're asking yourself, "Why am I under attack?" It's because the enemy thinks you are worth something. He thinks you are valuable. You have something of worth in your life. And God is going to do everything he can to protect you from the enemy. God planted you for a reason. God placed you in this field to grow for a purpose. You are valuable to God. He washed over you in the hot sun. He washed over you in the pouring rain that came. He washed over you in the blistering wind that was blowing you side to side. God was there during all of that. And when the enemy came in and planted destruction all around your life, and everybody wanted to cut you out, God said, "Let him grow."
Yeah.
Let him grow. Don't touch him. That's the love of God for our life. The devil has no hold on you because God has spoken. The enemy has no strength over you because God has spoken his word. It has been spoken over you. The devil can't touch you. He can only plant things around you. He can only come at you from the sides, come at you from behind. He won't come at you straight ahead because he knows you're too powerful. You got the Holy Ghost in you. He won't fight you directly because he knows that all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And he'll lose. Amen. He's going to do everything he can to get you. Stand with me this morning. Isaiah 54:17. The scripture makes you want to shout here.
All right.
Prepare yourself.
Yes.
I'm going to read it. Feel free to clap your hands. Feel free to give a victory shout if you want.
All right.
Let it be your war cry this morning.
Right.
"No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Right.
And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn."
All right.
"This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord," say that's me.
Right.
"And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord."
Right.
Hallelujah. We are the Lord's. We are his workmanship. We are his creation. You are valuable to God. You are worth something to him. The devil wants your worth. The devil wants your value. But God said, "No, I'm going to let you grow." God said you're going to reach your purpose. God said you're going to reach your destiny. You just have to trust in me. You just have to put your faith in me. Amen? Do you put your faith in God this morning? Do you put your faith and hope and trust in God this morning? Amen. Reminds me of the song, no matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. Amen. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that if I won't doubt, He'll bring me out. If I obey, He'll make a way. If I believe, I will receive everything He's promised me. I win. I win. I win this morning. I win this morning. It doesn't matter what's coming up against me. I got stuff planted around my life right now. I got things going in my life right now, but I know I win when it's all said and done. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you are today or what you're going through today. Get it in your mindset, I win. I am a child of God. Rejoice this morning in the fact that He planted you in this field today for this purpose. And if you trust in God, you will grow into your purpose and your destiny this morning. Amen. As we go forth into this next service, let's give a shout like we've never given a shout before. Let's give a victory shout today. Amen. God has given you victory over your situation. You just don't even know it yet. You just got to walk in it in faith and claim it and say, I'm going to reach my purpose. And when I reach my purpose, it doesn't matter what all this junk is. It's gone. It's going to be gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Him a praise right now. Hallelujah. God, I thank You, Jesus. God, that You win, Lord, over every battle, every war. God, that we lay it at Your feet today. God, that we claim victory in the name of Jesus. God, going into this service, we bind every hindrance in the name of Jesus. God, we plead Your blood over this service. God, we say release Your Spirit in this place today.